Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
It don't matter, he's dope, he knows that, but he's pro. He's so stagnant, he knows when he goes back to this mobile home, that's when it's back to the lab again, yo. This old rhapsody better go capture this moment and hope it don't do better. Lose his health in the music, the moment you own it, you better never let it go. You only get one shot, do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime, you better lose it.
But unity, real unity, can be found only after climbing the mountain of truth. And there are difficult truths we must confront in our country. One truth is that 24% of self-described, quote, very liberals believe it is acceptable to be happy about the death of a political opponent, while only 3% of self-described very conservatives agree. 3% is too many, of course.
This is J.D. Vance, of course, Vice President Vance, doing the Charlie Kirk Show yesterday. And most of the show was very normal. I didn't listen to the whole thing. But at the very end, he had some, well, a lot of things he said. And we're going to talk about this a little bit here this morning. But the ending monologue was about unity, but unity requires hard truth. And as he said, about a quarter of the far left versus about 3% of the far right. And then he goes further with young people.
Another truth is that 26% of young liberals believe political violence is sometimes justified. And only 7% of young conservatives say the same. Again, too high a number.
Yeah, it's weird because I would actually say that by definition, if you believe in political violence, you can't be a liberal because liberalism is literally the definition of letting everybody have their different views. But I understand what he's getting at. You know, leftism versus liberalism, they're not the same thing either. But anyway, it's a quibble. But yeah, 7% is too much. 26% is too much. A single person is too much. Absolutely right about that. The idea that we should use violence in response to what other people say that we disagree with is anathema to the project of America. We've been talking about this a lot lately for obvious reasons.
In a country of 330 million people, you can, of course, find one person of a given political persuasion justifying this or that or almost anything. But the data is clear. People on the left are much likelier to defend and celebrate political violence. This is not a both sides problem. If both sides have a problem, one side has a much bigger and malignant problem, and that is the truth we must be told. That problem has terrible consequences.
Correct. It is horrible anywhere. It appears to be more horrible as a numerical issue on the left. It is horrible everywhere. Let's make sure you hear that. It's horrible everywhere. People who believe that violence is the response for words, that's horrible. But it does appear to be worse on the left.
The leader of our party, Donald...
And it's still not a majority, by the way, anywhere. Thank God. You know, it's still not a majority. And that's important. Most people, left and right, thank God, do not believe this and are horrified by it. The vast majority, right, everywhere, still believe that political violence is unacceptable.
The leader of our party, Donald J. Trump, escaped an assassin's bullet by less than an inch. Our House Majority Leader, Stephen Scalise, came within seconds of death by an assassin himself. And now, the most influential conservative activist in generations, our friend Charlie, has been murdered. This violence, it doesn't come from nowhere.
That's true. Ideas produce consequences. Ideas produce actions, right? You know, the way you think determines the way you act. The way you act determines the circumstances or consequences. And if you speak to other people to influence their thinking, and they are influenced, then their actions, to some degree, become your responsibility. Not fully. Everybody has their own agency. But, you know, how would you like to have been the guy who taught... I know when you bring up Hitler, you lose the argument, but you get the point I'm going to make. Which, what if you had been the person who taught him rhetoric and giving speeches? You'd feel responsible. And you'd be right. Does that mean you shouldn't teach everybody how to speak more effectively? No, but you get the point. There's a lot of people have culpability in things. I feel like I have culpability for my words. You say, Andrew, I thought yesterday you were saying that people shouldn't be punished for their words. Yeah. How do you not get that you can have moral responsibility and it's still not the right thing to go out and punish people and inflict upon them pain because of the things they said that were wrong or immoral. You seem to have trouble with this idea. It can be both. You can be or feel morally responsible and still believe that it's not the appropriate thing for either the government or private individuals to go punishing people for the things that they say. Sometimes a thing can just be wrong even though there's no punishment for it. I don't know, anyway, but we'll come back to this. I wish he had talked about the Democrats who were killed and targeted for killing over the summer, the Minnesota legislators. I wish he had said it at this point because it would have been appropriate to mention both. He's been doing the fair job of bothing along the way, and I wish he had just done that because it would have lent more credibility, but he did not, okay? So he goes on.
Now, any political movement, violent or not violent,
sorry, you know what? We need to take a quick break. We'll be back. I'll forget if I don't do it right now. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now, nor any delays. Everything is flowing smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right. Thanks so much, John. So back to yesterday, again, J.D. Vance filling in for, of course, the deceased Charlie Kirk on his show. They've had a variety of, I guess, people doing this. I don't listen to the show, so I don't know, but I paid attention to this because it was news yesterday.
Now, any political movement, violent or not violent, is a collection of forces. It's like a pyramid that stacks on top. One support on top of the other. That pyramid's got a foundation of donors, of activists, of journalists, now of social media influencers, and of course of politicians. Not every member of that pyramid would commit a murder. In fact, over 99% I'm sure would not. But by celebrating that murder, apologizing for it, and emphasizing not Charlie's innocence, but the fact that he said things some didn't like, even to the point of lying about what he actually said, many of these people are creating an environment where things like this are inevitably going to happen.
Yeah, and you have this kind of layers of responsibility and accountability. And, you know, for example, with regards to the assassination of Charlie Kirk, you know, somebody who might say, well, we should kill all the conservatives, that would be an extreme version. Somebody might say, well, I don't cry over his death. Well, that's a mild version, right? And there's all kinds of nuance potentially in between. Now, I want every American to cry over his death and the Minnesota legislator's death and anybody who is murdered for any reason, but especially over this because free speech is such an important part of our society. I think it's tragic that people would say, you know, I hated him, therefore I don't mourn his passing. But that's a pretty low-grade level of outrage. It's still outrage. I mean, I hate that sentiment. I think you're not a good American if you say that. But I don't want to punish those people, right? We talked about this yesterday. Anyway, back to the comments that he made.
A couple of months ago, I headlined a fundraiser in Southern California. And since, you know, we'd be out there anyways, my wife and I decided to take our kids to Disneyland one weekend. We had fun, and to be clear, most of the guests said very nice things, or they just left us alone. But there was a loud and very cool minority that would shout at my children, who were 8, 5, and 3, whenever they got the opportunity. You should disown your dad, you little one middle-aged woman yelled at my 5-year-old. Tell the Secret Service to protect the Constitution, not your father, screamed another. Are these women violent? Probably not. Are they deranged? Certainly. And while our side of the aisle certainly has its crazies, it is a statistical fact that most of the lunatics in American politics today are proud members of the far left.
Yeah, outrageous to attack kids or to scream profanities at kids, I should say. Outrageous to harass people in public like this. It's outrageous. And again, it's a problem on all sides. There are some very, very stupid people on the right. There are some very stupid people on the left. What we should be doing is not so much fixating on who's got the bigger problem, but let's eradicate that problem, right? Can we agree that that problem is not a good problem to have? He goes farther.
After Charlie died, one of his friends and one of our senior White House staffers had left-leaning operatives in his neighborhood passing out leaflets telling people what he looked like and where he lived, encouraging neighbors to harass him or, God forbid, to do worse. While he was mourning his dead friend, he and his wife had to worry about the political terrorists drawing a big target on the home he shares with his young children. Are these people violent? I hope not. But are they guilty of encouraging violence? You damn well better believe it.
So then he gets to what I thought, this was the big news yesterday. That's all kind of set up. I wanted you to hear most of this. It wasn't the whole monologue, but it was a lot of it, okay? This is where he started to really make news yesterday as the vice president, okay? If he had been just an ordinary person hosting, who cares? But this is the vice president of the United States in what he's about to say.
We can thank God that most Democrats don't share these attitudes, and I do, while acknowledging that something has gone very wrong with a lunatic fringe, a minority, but a growing and powerful minority on the far left. There is no unity with people who scream at children over their parents' politics. There is no unity with someone who lies about what Charlie Kirk said in order to excuse his murder. There is no unity with someone who harasses an innocent family the day after the father of that family lost a dear friend. There is no unity with the people who celebrate Charlie Kirk's assassination. And there is no unity with the people who fund these articles, who pay the salaries of these terrorist sympathizers, who argue that Charlie Kirk, a loving husband and father, deserved a shot to the neck because he spoke words with which they disagree.
So I'm going to surprise you, I think, if you were listening to me yesterday, in how I respond to this. I agree with him. But it's very important you pay attention to the word you use. There is no unity with people who think that violence is the right response to speech. And there is no unity with people who celebrate the murder of a political activist. But unity and coexistence are not the same thing. Unity and coexistence are not the same thing. Can we coexist with our fellow Americans who say some of these things or the most awful of these things? And I think that's a hard question. I'm not sure what the vice president's answer is, although I'm suspicious based on some of the following things he's going to say, that no, the answer is we can't coexist with them. And that's where I get very concerned. Because I think the response to wicked speech is good speech. I think the response to dangerous ideas is beneficial ideas. I wish more people, you know what, honestly, doesn't concern me so much. You'll hear me out. It's not so much the people posting the vile things on social media that they did post after Charlie Kirk's murder. Where are their friends correcting them? Where's the other three quarters? And same on the right. If somebody says horrible things, where are their friends correcting them? You know, I think that's a fair question. But can we coexist? Because the alternative to coexisting is, you know, punishment or jail or expulsion or, you know, right? Can you tolerate it? So you don't have unity with the things you tolerate typically. You tolerate them, right? You unity with the things that you love. And he's right. You can't have unity with people who believe in political violence, especially in response to speech. Can you have tolerance with those people? And, of course, we've been talking for 2 days now about, you know, taking matters into your own hands by trying to get people fired or closing down restaurants or engaging in fairly mild but still physical violence because they use spray paint over your spray paint. And my answer is you should be more tolerant. You should be more restrained. You shouldn't seek to coerce them in response to them advocating for other people being coerced. Like, there's no sense to that. But he says, and this is the last one we'll play on this. There's more he said, but these are the key things. He wants unity, but
I'm desperate for our country to be united in condemnation of the actions and the ideas that killed my friend. I want it so badly that I will tell you a difficult truth. We can only have it with people who acknowledge that political violence is unacceptable, and when we work to dismantle the institutions that promote violence and terrorism in our own country. Now, our government, you heard me talk to Stephen Miller about this, will be working very hard to do exactly that in the months to come. We're not always going to get it right. We will sometimes move more slowly than you would like. We will sometimes move more slowly than I want us to. But I promise you that we will explore every option to bring real unity to our country and stop those who would kill their fellow Americans because they don't like what they say.
Some of this sounds right to me, and some of this sounds horribly wrong to me. If what he's talking about is bringing the weight of the government in to punish people or coerce them or interfere with their funding because they say things that he finds disgusting, that's terrifying. If we want to persuade people and we want to encourage people and we want to talk to them and he wants to take away public funding that winds up getting used for the advocacy of violence, that I can see, okay, because that's actually, you know, that verges on a crime, okay? It might be a crime, depending on how it's said. But the tone here sounded to me more like, you better watch out, liberals. We're coming for you. And that's what I took from what I heard. And the idea that we might move too slowly on that is also concerning. Now, I'm just going to wait for the details. It's going to be dependent upon the particulars. But, you know, he goes on to say, you know, hey, if somebody's doing wrong in their job, call their employer. What? Stop it. Stop it. Stop being the advocate of using power to control what people say and punish them for what they say. That's not the principle of the First Amendment. Actually, I probably ought to play that clip. We'll do it when we come back. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
I'm sorry, no accidents to report to you right now. If you're on 98 eastbound, just east of Navarre Beach Bridge, starting to see some minor slowdowns in that area, but that's all I see right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. Did you know that Florida recently passed a major tort reform package? The legislature reduced Florida's general injury statute of limitations from 4 years to 2 years. They limited attorney's fees and homeowners' lawsuits, which could adversely affect homeowners. For any injury claim, call me, Terrence A. Gross, at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
Honey, that flu keeping you up? Did you take NyQuil Intense Flu?
Nah, I got this. Okay, I don't got this.
Yeah, you need NyQuil Intense Flu.
Undo your flu with NyQuil Intense Flu. NyQuil Intense Flu provides powerful relief of your flu symptoms so you can sleep.
You do got this.
NyQuil Intense Flu. The nighttime sniffling, aching, fever, best sleep with the flu, medicine. Use as directed, keep out of reach of children.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm not skating to anything with references to lady humps. I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
No, it's not. It
gets the people going.
All right, I told you I'd play the last clip, sometimes time constraints, obviously. But J.D. Vance is not quite final, but probably one of the more important things that he said yesterday in this whole conversation about the response to the Charlie Kirk murder.
But you have a role, too. Civil society, Charlie understood this well, is not just something that flows from the government. It flows from each and every one of us. It flows from all of us. So when you see someone celebrating Charlie's murder, call them out. In hell, call their employer. We don't believe in political violence, but we do believe in civility. And there is no civility in the celebration of political assassination. Get involved. Get involved. Get involved. It's the best way to honor Charlie's legacy.
Yeah, call them out. Disagree. No problem. use force, coercion, threats, economic persuasion. No. That's the censorship mindset. So much to talk about in this regard, so much of it. And then he ended by talking about putting on the armor of God in Ephesians 6 as though the people who agree with him are going to be doing the Lord's work in stifling the opponents.
I'm Gianna Gelosi. The man accused of murdering Charlie Kirk is expected to appear virtually in court later today as we learn more about his digital footprint.
In messages obtained by the Washington Post from an online group chat, the suspect told a group of about 30 people, "Hey guys, I have bad news for you all. It was me at UVU yesterday. I'm sorry for all of this."
That's Fox's Garrett Tenney. Israel's military expanding operations in Gaza City and warning residents to leave. A spokesperson says the goal is to destroy Hamas' military infrastructure. Now, as he left Israel Monday, Secretary of State Marco Rubio said time is running out for a ceasefire and peace agreement with Hamas.
"We have a very short window of time in which a deal could happen. We don't have months anymore, and we probably have days and maybe a few weeks."
He's now in Qatar, where ceasefire talks continue. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now it is mostly clear skies and 63 degrees in Pensacola. We've got our forecast with Brooke Richardson. That'll be on the way in just a few minutes. Well, reason to celebrate in Atmore. Police there say violent crime is down by 50% over the last year.
The community has made the turn towards, you know, because everyone wants to feel safe. They want to go on their porch and night and relax and enjoy the evening.
Atmore PD's Sergeant Daryl McMahon and police say the decrease comes as the department has increased patrols, started using new technology, and partnered with regional crime labs for their investigations. And community engagement has increased thanks to youth mentorship and neighborhood watch programs in the city. A 42-year-old motorcyclist arrested recently for exceeding the speed limit by more than 50 miles per hour. This was under the new Florida super speeder law. FHP says Thomas Knight was clocked at 94 miles per hour on a roadway with a posted speed limit of only 40. In addition to the speeding charge, he was also cited for riding a motorcycle without the proper endorsement. Well, in Milton, the Texas Roadhouse location has found itself embroiled into the Charlie Kirk controversy. This after a post on social media saying, quote, "I don't feel sorry for a Nazi. He didn't unite anyone except on grounds of hatred and racism," end quote there. The woman was the estranged wife of the location's former manager. He was let go after the comments drew scrutiny online and people began threatening to boycott Texas Roadhouse Corporate, posting that the managing partner of the location had been let go from the company, and reports online also indicating that servers that work there have been feeling intimidated and anxious due to that situation. Now, Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson says he does support the Second Amendment, but he's just a bit perplexed at the idea of open carry being legal now in Florida.
Back when this was being discussed, they showed some pictures. We were at a sheriff's thing, and they showed some pictures of open carry in other states. And there was a guy in a Subway getting a sandwich for lunch, and he had a handgun on his left hip, a handgun on his right hip, a drop holster on his left, a drop holster on the right, with two more handguns, and an AK strapped on his back.
And Johnson says he's hoping that legislators will at least put together some restrictions to keep people from taking open carry too far. He says he really just doesn't get it, as it can make you a target similar to being a law enforcement officer. And, of course, this all coming after that appeals court ruling last week in favor of a former local political candidate who was arrested while open carrying in 2022. Well, Florida could ban a controversial vaccine. Surgeon General Dr. Joseph Latipo recently saying he wants the state to eventually ban the mRNA vaccine. He said in a podcast that was released this last Sunday that, quote, "the goal with mRNA is for that not to be available to anyone." Latipo says that nobody should be using those vaccines, and he didn't give a time frame for when he wants a ban to be enacted. 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
No accidents to report to you right now. Still seeing some minor delays on 98 eastbound, just east of Navarre Beach Bridge. Those are just congestion delays there. Let's see here. I-10, I-110 are all looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Our Channel 3 forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to have a beautiful day today with mostly sunny skies, high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 68. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 89. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Keeping the beautiful sunny weather around on Thursday with a high near 89 degrees and a low near 70 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Right now, we've got clear skies, beautiful morning, 63 degrees in Pensacola. Our next news at 7 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
What are you doing every day to support your liver? If you enjoy sweets, fast food, alcohol, or take any medications, that's a vital question to ask. Hi, I'm Sherry Torkus, pharmacist and health author. For over 30 years, I've helped people make informed decisions about their health, especially concerning prevention and long-term wellness. Supporting your liver isn't just a wellness trend, it's a daily essential. That's why I recommend Active Liver by New Nordic. It's made with plant-based ingredients like milk thistle, turmeric, and globe artichoke, herbs clinically studied for their protective and restorative effects on the liver. Active Liver blends traditional herbal wisdom with modern scientific research. Not all supplements are created equal. I trust Active Liver because it's backed by science, meets strict quality standards, and delivers true daily liver support.
Protect your liver and give it the support that it deserves by making Active Liver from New Nordic part of your daily wellness routine. Find Active Liver in stores at your local CVS, Meijer Grocery, or online at Amazon or newnordicusa.com.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. You can bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's the Josh Strickland Band with classic rock, blues, southern rock, and more. Bring some food, bring some beverages, and enjoy a great sunset as the fall season begins at Bands on the Beach. No pets, no glass.
The Florida Bright Futures Scholarship isn't just about covering tuition. It can help you pursue your dreams at any Florida State University, community college, or eligible trade school. Whether you want to become a teacher, study engineering, learn a skilled trade, or start your own business, Bright Futures can help you achieve your goals. The best part? It's funded by the Florida Lottery, so when people play, students win. Visit floridabrightfutures.gov to learn more about your options, check your eligibility, and start your application. Your bright future starts here.
This message is brought to you by the Florida Lottery and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Good morning, 6:39 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay at Pensacola Morning News. Wes Moreno is the county administrator for Escambia County. We've got a board meeting today, a weird one on a Tuesday, and a morning meeting, so there's no, like, agenda in the morning and then afternoon meeting. It's actually this morning. Wes Moreno, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. It's great to be here, as always.
Great to have you. Let's start with a couple of the things that are on the agenda this morning that I think are pretty interesting, that other people have expressed interest in, for sure. The Superintendent Ballot Initiative is not on the agenda per se. It's just to schedule the discussion or the hearing for October 16th, as I read it. Correct me if I'm wrong. But how much latitude does the board have to change the date to the primary, or from the primary date to the general election? Is that completely at the board discretion, or are they obligated because of what the school board requested?
It is a board discretion, but I think what you'll see our board and what our board has always tried to do with the school board is it's work hand in hand, and we try to follow the lead of school board, school district, and that's I think that's what you'll see the board do with this particular item.
Okay. All right. Well, I would encourage them to use their discretion to fix a mistake that the school board is making, but I understand that's not your choice. That's their choice to make. But I wanted to make sure they do have the power to change it if they want to, which is that confirms that. Fine. Second thing, the Turning Point USA Road in memory of Charlie Kirk to go on, I said before the backside, but it's really the front side of Escambia High School. Escambia High School didn't really have a front side. Anyway, people have raised the question of other names. The, you know, the Minneapolis legislator who was killed for being a Democrat as well as several others, H.K. Matthews, you know, somebody from Pensacola. There's all kinds of alternatives. I know, again, you're the administrator. It's not your item. I maybe should be talking to Mike Kohler about this, but it seems very reactionary, especially for a school that's had the history of racial tension that has had at Escambia High. Can you maybe, I don't know, is this just Mike is bringing this item and you guys are going to talk about it? It just seems like I'd like to have more of an organized approach to how we're going to name things and who we're going to honor and a real, a panel, honestly, to talk about, hey, these are people we'd like to rename roads for, and let's go through a process. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm with you. And, Commissioner Culler's bringing this morning, but I would say my understanding is he's been working hand-in-hand with Representative Fetzko from the school board, school mm-hmm. district, and this is kind of a joint thing between both of them. I think the initiative is good as far as the intent is to try to bring some, you know, people, ironically, bring people together, a little more tolerance when it comes to these types of things that happen in the community and happen in our nation. And I think his heart is in the right place. I think certainly I've spoken with him numerous times about it, and I know what his intent is, and it's certainly not to be divisive at all. It is actually to help, and his initiative would be to help bring people together for more tolerance and be a little more understanding of other people's views and those sorts of things. But it is an initiative that he and then Paul Fetzko put together.
Okay. Off the top of my head, I'm thinking more of maybe call it Freedom of Speech Road or First Amendment Road or, you know, Civil Discourse Road. You know, just I know what he's trying to do. I know Mike's heart, and I don't think people have accused him of trying to be political with this. I actually don't think that's what's going on here. I just don't know that it's the most effective way to accomplish what he's trying to accomplish. And again, I know it's his issue, and you don't get to vote on this, so maybe I'm talking to the wrong person. The Divine Farms Road, somebody asked me about this, and I didn't know the answer. Divine Farms Road, the bridge, has been under construction. I thought it had been finished, and this is the one. There's the borrow pit back there. There's the giant new subdivision back there. Of course, a lot of concerns about the width and the safety of Divine Farms Road for people who live more towards the previously developed part. Is the bridge not done yet? I thought it was done, but you tell me.
I don't think the project is completed yet. We had some issues with utility relocation and some redesign around some current utilities that couldn't be relocated, and that took quite a bit of time and effort and working with some outside agencies and outside partners that are impacted by the project. So I don't know that it's quite done yet, and honestly I don't know the exact time frame for the completion of it, but I do know we did have some delay in the redesign and the relocation and some adjustments that needed to be made there at the bridge as far as the approaches and the alignment.
Okay. And also a worthwhile reminder that bridges are very expensive. They take a long time, and they involve a lot
expensive.
Of moving parts.
Even a little one is expensive.
Yeah, they're. I mean, you know, I live in a subdivision that goes over a county bridge, a little one, and I'm like, oh, I feel you. I know.
They're expensive.
They're a big deal. We're talking to Wes Moreno. He's the Escambia County Administrator. Wes, hang on for just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Still no accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to West Moreno. Another issue, the county administrator, First Gambia County. Another issue that I thought was going to be on the agenda was the Baptist Hospital because it got pushed from the last meeting. But I didn't see it on the agenda, but you and I talked right before the meeting, and there is an element that is on there that's related to this, right?
Yeah, there is. The revitalization of the area around the legislative campus there. Mainly, you know, Commissioner May has a heart for that area and has been driving hard for health care and dental and food services there in that area. And so what they're going to talk about this morning is a donation of a number, of a dollar amount. And in conjunction, maybe Baptist will donate a building or buildings or commit to providing health care or dental or food services there. It'll be a robust discussion, I'm sure, but we'll see how it turns out.
Other discussions have been very quick and very easy, and everybody was on board. I don't know why you'd think it'd be controversy. So,
I don't know either.
Nothing except your 50-ish years of life and all your time as the county administrator. You know, nothing except what experience. But there's a big issue I want to get to as the last one. But before we get there, what's with the wild hogs and the code enforcement and all this? What's this all about?
I'm not sure, honestly. I hadn't heard this one. Oh. I know we don't typically deal in wild hogs.
I thought there was there was a county thing with, maybe I'm the dumb one. I thought there was a thing. It's been a story. The code enforcement and wild hogs. Maybe I'm inventing it.
Maybe
I don't know.
Somebody has some wild hogs that maybe the area is not zoned for them to have hogs. It shouldn't. Wild hogs are kind of, I don't think anybody's supposed to have wild hogs to begin with.
Right.
They tend to be more of a nuisance. Animal control, which it's really not our avenue, really not our lane usually, but sometimes we do get caught up in it.
Last thing I wanted to ask you about, and it's a big topic. I know we don't have really enough time to figure it out, but this whole business of ECAT, the in-house operators for the large buses, the contract with ITL for paratransit, and, of course, the new thing that you and I have talked about many times, which is the flex transit. Let's just start with this. Your proposal is to bring everything in-house to get rid of paratransit as it currently operates from ITL and instead to try to save money and do it better by operating it in-house. Is that right?
Well, that is a portion of the proposal, but there's a driving factor beyond that, and the driving factor, like I said the other night at the meeting, the service that ITL has been providing is not a bad service. It's really not. But there is a contractual element to where they're responsible to pay for their fuel. And I don't know, somehow or another, they've not been paying for it. It came to light in the last however many months. So my goal was to push the issue, make it to where we get compensated for the fuel. They're even, they're level, everybody's cool, and then maybe re-solicit and re-procure. It's not so much the service that the other night. It really was just a contractual issue. Now, since then, there's been many conversations, as recent as yesterday morning, that I met with a representative from ITL. I think we're on a good path. I think we're going to be able to straighten things out and get them where they need to be, and then we'll be able to move forward. And there's some other things, too, not related to ITL. I mean, we have this service that we provide, and they want us to provide it 24/7 almost. I mean, we're running to Century to the Alabama-Florida line to pick up one person at 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean, that's just not cost-beneficial. So we'll work through some of those things with some of those outside agencies and see if we can streamline the service and make it a little better.
What was the dollar amount on the gas? Because, when I heard it, I was stunned. But I don't want to make up a number because
I think right now it's sitting at 400-something thousand, close to 500,000.
So they're supposed to pay for their gas, but they wound up getting given the gas, and it was worth, in total over the time, about $400,000 from the county.
That's correct.
Wow. I mean, that's a flabbergasting number. The other part of this that I thought was really, I don't know, that caught my attention it's, if I remember correctly, it was a single trip one way for one person by paratransit is $45 in cost, not to the user. The user still pays the regular, what is it, $250 for a trip? But the actual cost of providing the service is $40. So a round trip costs the taxpayer in some form or another $90. Is that right?
That is correct.
That's...
Which is why another reason we're moving to utilize FlexTrans as much as possible.
Yeah, because what does FlexTransit cost for the same trip? More like, what, 30 or something?
It's about $33.
So about a third the cost. And a lot of the the people who had been maybe previously before FlexTransit existed were using paratransit. Many of those people are now opting for FlexTransit, which is part of the issue with ITL is they feel like FlexTransit's competing against their service, right? But, you know, from its cost perspective, I would much rather have the cost be a $33 trip than a $90 trip for something providing people who are disabled, right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, like I said, it's a work in progress. We're meeting continually, and there's a lot of elements to it, and we'll work through each element as we get to it, and I think when we get to the end, you'll see an efficient service, with it, not only just in the service itself, but in the cost as well.
A couple of other things just on this topic, because I think it's actually really important. One just has to do with the operation of the FlexTransit itself. I've seen people complain about the website being down or the inability to book. And they do have to book in advance, like a day in advance, and it's always a first-come, first-serve basis. But if you know you're going to need to go to work or go to the store, that's the premise, right? But it has had some, like, technical problems lately. Is that right?
There's been a few glitches with the app. There has been, yes.
Okay, and I mean, anything you can tell us about how that's being resolved or what's, you know, how it's working?
We're working with the provider and the app provider and that designer, and we're working through them.
Okay, all right, so it is getting better. And you have on the agenda today a contract ratification, I think, with the ECAT union. Have you figured out the issue of, like, I mean, if ITL goes away, are those folks going to come in-house? How is the union, non-union question, flex drivers, all, you know, how all of that?
If that happens, some of them will come in-house, yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And so as part of the union contract. And what's on the agenda today as far as the contract is just them ratifying the 3% pay adjustment.
Got it. Okay. Anything else on the – I mean, I looked over it up, but, you know, sometimes you see things, or obviously the administrator, you know things, I don't know. Anything on there that you think people would be particularly interested in knowing about? Good news, bad news, whatever the case may be?
Well, I don't know about it. Some of it's not on the agenda, but one of them is a fishing bridge. There's a big thing that we're awarding today, the construction of that is $21.5 million.
The rebuilding of the fishing pier that got damaged in Sally, which was, by the way, 5 years today, which is crazy.
Yep. But okay. Absolutely. The gateway project going on Pensacola Beach, we're getting ready to put that out and procure the actual construction. The design is at 100%, and so we're fixing to procure that construction. I'm hoping to have that award for construction to the board by November. And then also the fire stations designs, procurements open up, or are opening up now. And then for Myrtle Grove and for Paradise Beach, and then for Kingsfield, we're procuring the CEI. So all that's moving forward and driving forward. A lot of good things moving forward. A lot of work being done there behind the scenes, and a lot of good outcomes headed our way.
I can only imagine how many people listening when you said that we're actually going to take the first big step on the fishing pier rebuild are like, yay, hallelujah, finally. So that's very good news. And, of course, the people who have to pay their ridiculous home insurance rates over by Paradise Beach, I'm sure they're celebrating that, too, because that's been a long time coming. Very good. Wes Moreno, he is the Escambia County Administrator. Thank you for adding the good news and the other things that the county is doing. It's so important. And we look forward to the meeting this morning. Always, thank you for the time, sir.
All right. Appreciate it.
You bet. 6:54 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you need to buy a home or sell a home or just want to ask about that process, or maybe it's a rental. You know, I don't know whether you're buying for yourself, buying for a family member, buying for an investment property, downsizing, upsizing. You know, everybody's doing different things with their homes, and that's the point. Every part of that can be different, and even in, you know, different markets are different things. I mean, the 4-2 homes and the condos aren't necessarily the same market. The price range, the location, all this stuff, just knowing all of these things is what Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty are so good at. 165 homes sold last year, three and a half, four a week over and over and over again, which means experience that you don't get by doing a few. You get that by doing a lot, and they do an awful lot. So call her and ask her. She loves to meet people, loves to sit down and chat with people, help you ask, you know, answer the questions you've got, ask better questions, get perspective, and, you know, make whatever decision is the right one for you. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now, but if you're on I-10 eastbound right around the Highway 29, starting to see congestion delay there, maybe about a 5 to 7 minute congestion delay. But other than that, things are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Saturday, September 27th, come to the grand opening land sale at the Ranches at Creekside Preserve and get your gorgeous 20 to 50 acre estate in desirable Baldwin County on sale from only $139.9. That's right. Get 20 to 50 acres in Baldwin County from just $139.9 with excellent financing available. Ranches at Creekside Preserve features private large acreage tracts with beautiful woodlands, rolling meadows, and a peaceful creek, all surrounded by pristine natural beauty and abundant wildlife. It's your opportunity to live in Baldwin County, Alabama, one of the fastest growing coastal counties in the U.S. due to low taxes and a low cost of living. Don't miss out. Come to the grand opening land sale at the Ranches at Creekside Preserve and get your gorgeous 20 to 50 acre estate in desirable Baldwin County on sale from only $139.9. Call 877-888-1415 or go to creeksidepreserveal.com. That's creeksidepreserveal.com.
Looking for a stylish way to promote your brand or celebrate a special occasion? Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze now offers custom hats, a new addition to their lineup of custom and promotional items. From corporate logos to personalized designs, these hats are perfect for businesses, events, team gear, or one-of-a-kind gifts. Prim and Proper is still your go-to for custom engraving and unique gifts. From personalized drinkware to engraved home decor, every item is crafted with care by their in-house experts. Visit primandproper.com for more.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed, stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season.
Tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app. Tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
I loved that old reel, man. That's so, you know, the triumph and the crashes.
Oh, I know. That's so awesome.
News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Charlie Kirk's accused killer will be in court today. 22-year-old Tyler Robinson expected to be arraigned on a state murder charge in Provo, Utah. He's also expected to face federal charges at some point. Also today, FBI Director Kash Patel will be questioned by lawmakers on Capitol Hill as the leadership of the agency is under fire over the investigation into this whole incident. There's a new study out showing a lot of people don't realize that they've got diabetes. Researchers looked over data from more than 200 countries from the years 2000 to 2023 for their study. The findings were published in the Lancet Diabetes and Endocrinology, and they show 44% of people 15 years and older who have diabetes are undiagnosed.
So it's type 3 diabetes then. It's a secret diabetes.
Sure. That's secret version.
Secret diabetes.
And there's a
hey,
deal.
Hey, psst. I got a secret. What is it? Diabetes.
The first rule of Secret Diabetes Club is we don't talk about Secret Diabetes Club.
That's right.
There is a deal, Andrew, to save TikTok that's almost done. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent confirming that they've got a framework for a TikTok deal. And this is after trade talks between China and the U.S. took place in Madrid. So ByteDance has been given until Wednesday. So we'll see what happens.
Man, I just got on TikTok myself.
I can't wait to see your dancing video.
I did not get on TikTok. Come on, people.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on.